The reading today is from Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people, for they have already been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. Thanks be to God.
Well, let's pray. God, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you that it is your written declaration of who you are. Thank you that it reveals to us some of the stories around who you are, around Jesus as your word in human flesh, and around what it means for us to walk in light of this. God, help us to know you more this morning. Help your word to speak to us, we pray. And God, may you open our hearts and minds to hear what you would have to say to us this morning in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, over these last 4 weeks, we've been looking at the values that define us as a church. That as we've launched our new vision and mission statement, we've also launched 4 values to go along with this. That we are dependent on God, that we are built on the Word, that we are together as a family. And today we're going to talk about what it means for us to be reaching out to all around us. See, these are values that underpin who we are and what we do as a church. They define how we go about our vision and mission. We see each of these parts and values in our Sunday service. That, for example, as we look at the first graphic, which is dependent on God, we see that in our songs and in our prayers. That as we worship God in song and word, we are looking to him. We are saying, God, we need you in this. The second graphic that you see there is being built on the word, that as we read God's word, the Bible, and as we preach, we are proclaiming Jesus and the Bible, that we are being built up on God's word. In our communion, as we come to communion later in our service, as we gather around the communion table, we are doing so together as a family. And then lastly, in our notices and in our offering and in our sending out, we are looking to go beyond us and reach out to all around us. This is what it means for us to be holding this on a Sunday, but this is also then present in how we go about our other ministries and time during the week as well. That as we look at our ministries that we do, we want to test them in light of these values. Do they help us to be dependent on God? Do they help us to be built on the word? Do they help us to be together as a family? And do they help us to reach out to all around us? We want to check that what we're doing is actually in line with these values that God has given us as a people, that as we do this, we might be that epicenter of hope that is reaching out and sharing the life that we have in God to all around us. And so today, we're going to talk about reaching out to all around us. And why do we have a value of reaching out? Well, in Mark 8, as we just had read to us, we hear about Jesus teaching the people. He is teaching the crowds. And now, because we're in Mark 8, That means that we're in the middle of Jesus' ministry, that Jesus has been going about his ministry for a while now, but this isn't a one-off occurrence, that the crowds don't just flock to Jesus on this occasion. As we go through the Gospels and read about Jesus' life, we actually see this is the reality wherever Jesus goes. That we see that when Jesus was present, people had to raise, lower a crippled person through a roof because the crowd was so great that they couldn't get to Jesus to lay this man at Jesus' feet for him to heal them. That people had to climb trees just to grab a glimpse of Jesus as he walked past. That people would push through crowds trying to just touch the cloak, the edge of the cloak of Jesus, that they might get healing, even though this was costly for them, because they knew that if it was revealed who was there, then they would have ceremonially made unclean the people around Jesus. People gathered around Jesus. Wherever he went, the crowds were there around him. They wanted to hear from Jesus. And the common response of Jesus when these people come to him is to have compassion on them. That as we go through the Gospels, we see Jesus' response is to care for the people. He is a present amongst them and he cares for them. He responds with compassion. Now, even when Jesus was trying to go to a quiet place, to a retreat that he could spend some time with God and investing in his 12 disciples, when the crowds come, he doesn't get annoyed with them. His response is compassion. Jesus sees the people in front of him and says, I am amongst you, I am with you, and I am going to minister to you. And in the Old Testament, this is true as well. That often people will talk about this vengeful, wrathful God in the Old Testament, but actually what we see is God's mercy and compassion. That God waits for his people to respond to him. And when they turn away from them, what does he do? But he reaches out to invite them back in. He is a God who is merciful and slow to anger. He is rich in compassion for his people. And so this is part of God's character, that he is compassionate and reaching out and wants that to be known to people. Now, this word compassion that we have in Mark 8, when Jesus says, I have compassion, is one of my favorite Greek words. It is the word splagnizomai. I want you all to have a try of saying that. Splagnizomai. Now, what this word means is literally to be moved in your bowels. To have such a deep feeling within you that you can't help but be moved. And the reason that it's this word and the idea of being moved in our guts and our bowels is for the ancient Greeks and particularly the Hebrews as well. This was where they thought the deepest emotions sat. That to be moved in your innermost being was to be moved where your deepest feelings are. And the ancient Hebrew understanding of this was also that this was the place where you had your soft, soft feelings as well. Things like kindness and mercy and compassion. And so for Jesus to be moved deeply in his innermost being, to say this is a feeling that he can't shake, he knows he has to respond to it. And what is it? It's a feeling of kindness and mercy and compassion on his people. And so Jesus, as he sees this crowd, says, I have compassion. I am moved in my innermost being for these people. I want to care for them. Why? Because they've been here for 3 days with me and have nothing to eat. They've eaten all their food. And if I send them home now, they're going to collapse on the way home. And that's not going to be great.
If you rewind two chapters in Mark to Mark 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000, you'll see that this is actually the concern that the disciples have when they come to Jesus saying, Jesus, you need to send these people away so that they can get food before the villagers run out of food. Because if we don't, then they're going to collapse and that's going to be bad news for us. And so Jesus has this compassion and he says, I am moved by the situation of these people and I want to care for them. Why? Because I am amongst them and I am seeing them and I want them to know the good news of Jesus. And so the disciples may be seeing the earthly situation, maybe remembering what Jesus has done when he fed the 5,000, say to him, Jesus, where are we going to get all this food? We're in a remote place. And so Jesus sees the need and he says, well, what do we have? What do we have? We have 7 loaves and a few small fish. But Jesus is able to reach out and minister to the people because his compassion has led him to respond to them. He doesn't just isolate himself from the plight, saying, well, too bad that we're in a remote place. Just send them off and they'll have to make do with what they can find. No, Jesus says, I see the need and I want to reach out and minister to that. Why? Because my kingdom and my good news is a good news of life and hope that brings life to all people. And so Jesus is moved by his compassion to care for the people around him. But the other thing about Jesus' compassion is that he doesn't just do it in his own strength. See, Jesus reaching out is actually done in the strength and relying on God. That Jesus could have just broken the bread. He could have said to the disciples, hey, how much have we got? Cool, we got 7 loaves. Cool, here you go. Take that to the people. Oh, and how many fish have we got? Oh, just a few. Okay, well, here we go. Take that and boom. But what Jesus does is he stops in that moment deliberately and he gives thanks to God. Saying, God, I could do all of this in my own strength. Why? Because I'm God. But I want the people to know that I am relying on you and that it is you who is moving here. That Jesus' compassion isn't just taken out of what he does, but it's out of his reliance and his relationship with God that people would come into relationship and knowing God as well. And so we see this in Jesus' life, that Jesus is a person who has compassion on people, that he is present and amongst the people, that he is reaching out to them, that he is moved in his innermost being to have mercy and share the good news and bring life to all around him. But then he also commands us as followers of him to do the same. That if you go to the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel, his words to the disciples are, go and make disciples of all nations, proclaiming to them me. Luke, in his recording of that same moment in Acts, actually says, go and be my witnesses. Tell my story to all the ends of the earth. Jesus commands us to go and share the good news, to reach out to all around us. And this is also true of the God's people in the Old Testament as well, that for the people of Israel, as God's chosen people, they were there to be a witness to God that the kingdoms around them would actually turn to and worship God as well. They were called to be reaching out and sharing God's good news by following him. That would be like when King Darius responded to Daniel by saying, Daniel's God is the true God and we must worship him. Why? Because we've seen Daniel in the lion's den and his God has saved him, and so we must respond to that. That is the command of God's people all throughout the Bible. Reach out and share the hope in God. Show what it is to have a life in him. And bring that to those around us. So then, what does that actually look like for us as a church? What does it look like for us to do this practically? Well, the first thing it means for us as a church is it means that we need to be present amongst those around us. The crowds kept coming to Jesus because he was present amongst them. They were able to reach him. That even when he'd go to another place, the crowds knew he was coming, and so they'd respond and gather around him. But Jesus didn't isolate himself from them. He said, "All right, come, come." And he responds to them. Jesus' presence means then that he's able to minister to them. For us to reach out to all around us, that just like Jesus, we need to be present amongst our people as well. We need to be present amongst the communities around us. That our church cannot operate as an exclusive country club where we gather together, where only the right members can come in, those who have paid their fees, are up to date, they've done all the right things, filled in all the forms, ticked the right boxes, got past the security at the front door. Then they're allowed to come in. No, we can't operate like that. That's not what it means to be present amongst our communities. We are to reach out to all around us. We need to be present amongst the community. I'm excited that over the coming 3 years, we've set a goal that we want to be doing this through true sustainable practices. And so I'm looking forward to how God is going to lead us to do this as a church. And I invite you to be praying with us as we seek to do this. God, what does it look like for us to be amongst the communities around us? How can we minister well amongst the people that they might know the good news of who you are? And we do this as we engage with shops around us. We do this as we engage in conversation with family and friends and listening to our workmates and our schoolmates. We want to be invested in the community around us. Now, an example of this, I think of Kath and Craig, who have gone down and hung out with some of the folk that hang outside the library. Just having a conversation, just getting to know them, but being present amongst the community. This is the kind of thing about what it is to be present. Have we got a relationship with our local cafes? Have we got a relationship with the shops that we go to? Are we as individuals, and we'll get to this as well, connected to the people who live around us? Are we sharing life with our workmates, or are they just someone that we go to work with and then we forget about them? But it's about us being invested and present in those people who are around us, not just here in our church building, or in our small groups, but thinking, all right, how do we actually move out amongst the people in this as well? The second thing for us is this, that reaching out to all around us as a church means that we will step out with invites. I was talking to a ministry buddy of mine this week. They meet in a local football club. They don't have a church building. And it's quite a removed place. It's not where you would necessarily just walk past and be like, oh, there's a church happening there, I'm going to go there. And yes, they get people coming because they've looked on the internet, said, oh, what's a local church around me? Where can I go? Oh, that church, I'm going to go there. But most of the people that come to their church and get involved are people who have been invited by those who are already present. Now, I am definitely guilty of this, but I think it becomes easy for us and easy for me to say, well, we're in a church building that's in a prominent location, so surely people will just walk past and go, oh, that's a church, I'm just going to pop in there on a Sunday, rather than actually going, actually, I'm going to reach out and invite people to come along, that I'm going to share, hey, come along to church. But can I tell you that us relying on people simply walking through the door is not a good growth strategy? Yes, it happens. It happens from time to time, and it's great when it does. That people are searching and are being drawn to God, and they want to be a part of the church and go, well, I want to be connected there. And that is great. But if we actually want to reach out to all around us, then that means that we've got to step out with the invites as well. And I know this is scary. I know that we get worried, well, what if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? What if I invite them to church and the service they come to is terrible? What if they get really angry and annoyed at me? Do you know the worst thing that can happen is that you plant a seed? Maybe they'll say no, and that's okay. Maybe it's a no for now. But as you have invited them to come, you've actually planted a seed of saying, oh, well, I know that Steve said about going to church. I'm going through this really hard thing, and Steve always seems to have this thing going on, and he's always seeming hopeful and joyful. And so maybe there's something to this church thing and being a Christian and following God. And so maybe I'll come along. And that might be 30 years down the track. But it's planting the seed and watering the seed of an invite in this. And it doesn't need to be some perfectly scripted invite to them. Hey, come along to church this Sunday. We're going to talk about this and this, and I think you'd really enjoy it and be benefited by it. No, it's be authentic. Build from your relationship with them. As you've invested in them and as you've been present amongst them, invite them along. But for us as a church to reach out, then we need to invite people. We need to be looking to build those connections and inviting them to come along too. And the third thing for us about what it is as a church is that we would do this in actions and not just words. That for us to reach out to all around us is not just proclaiming the good news of Jesus, but it's also helping to be a blessing to our community as well. That they want to see that actually we're not just beating them over the head with words, but actually building life into them. That we do this with our actions of blessing and not just saying. And so as we look at what we're going to do, we're going to seek to do this in ways that actually will build us and help us to be a blessing to our community. But as we think about what it means to be amongst our community, well, how can we bless them and be a beneficial thing to them? And it's one of my key prayers for us for our Christmas on the Lawn event next week, that actually all those who come along would be blessed by being a part of it, that they might see actually this is a good thing. That if the church wasn't here, they would be saying, well, actually, we're missing out. Because that church, Christ Church, they were a blessing to our community. They ministered in big ways amongst us. So that's what it looks like for us practically as a church. What does it look like for us as individuals? Well, the first thing is being present. If we want to reach out to all around us, we need to be present in our people. That doesn't change. That actually we've got to be building relationship with people. We've got to connect with those around us. This is connecting with our work colleagues. It's connecting with family and friends. It's slowly building relationships at our local cafes, our local shops. It might mean rather than going through the self-serve checkout, that you go through a checkout at the grocery store with a person on it and you have a conversation. But it is being present and amongst those around us, having conversations with them, getting to know them, building those relationships with them. The second thing for us is that it is inviting people into our groups as well. That as we think about what it means to reach out to all, it's also inviting them to come and join us. That actually maybe the first step for our non-Christian friends is not to come to church, but the first step is to come to a barbecue with some of our Christian friends. That the first step is that they would get to know other people who are Christian. And that over time they might see, oh, there is something about this Christian life that is different. And yeah, I want to be a part of that as well. That often we think, well, we've got to build this perfect relationship with non-Christians. And once we've built the perfect relationship, then we'll be able to invite them to church and God will do the work and they'll become a Christian. But actually some of what they need is, yes, that relationship with us, but also a relationship with other Christians. And so invite them to gatherings together. Get your Christian and non-Christian friends to come to the footy. Get to know one another. Show that Christians are normal people. Now this year we've had a couple of gatherings where we've been able to invite Christian and non-Christian friends together. And do you want to know what the overwhelming response of our non-Christian friends is when we have these gatherings? Your Christian friends are lovely and friendly and kind. Now, our non-Christian friends aren't immediately coming to church because of that. But it sets up the seed and waters the seed in their mind of actually, yeah, those people that we met, they go to church with Steve and Arnie, and they were lovely and there was something different about them. As I'm going through this struggle, how can I respond to that? And so we start to then invite them into these circles, building connections and conversations that they might know the truth of God in this as well. So as we are present amongst people, getting to know them, we're also drawing them into these bigger circles as well. And the third thing for us is that reaching out to all around us requires genuine warmth in our transformed life in God. If you want to reach out to someone, they are not going to care about what you have to say if you are a terrible workmate, if you are a terrible friend, if you're a terrible family member. Why? Because they're saying, well, why would I want to be a part of that? If you're leaving all the work to us for us to pick up all the mistakes that you're making, I don't want to be a part of that because you're a terrible person. It's a poor witness on who God is. See, being an epicenter of hope starts with us being so shaken and transformed by God that it can't help but reverberate out the hope and the good life that we have in God. But it takes us also seeking that in us too. That we would be dependent on God. That just as Jesus leant on God in his life, we also would be dependent on God and being so stirred by him that it can't help but overflow and reflect positively and be a blessing in the lives of those around us. And so I encourage you to think about these things. To think about what does it look like for us as a church. To pray, what does it look like for us to be present amongst our people as we develop these new actions and initiatives over the next coming years. Who can I be inviting to church and to events? What are the actions that I can show to be a blessing? And what are the actions that we as a church can do to be a blessing? And then who am I being present with and who am I connecting with and investing time in with those around me? And how can I invite them into the groups? And God, I want to see more of you in my life. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who is compassionate, that you are abounding in love. God, you set the tone for us of reaching out to all around us. And God, would you help us as a church to do this? Would you help us to reach out to all around us by being present, by inviting, by doing this in actions and not just words? And God, would you help us to do this in our own lives as well? that we would be present amongst all those who you place in our lives, that we would be inviting all around us into the bigger circles of connection with you. And God, would we see you at work in our lives? And that out of what you are doing in us, that we would be an epicenter of hope. That we would have a life in you that is joyful and good and loving, wrapped in your love, that we might then be able to share it with all around us. And God, for those times where we haven't done this, where we've become insular rather than outward focused, where we've become selfish rather than thinking about how you call us to care for other people, God, we say sorry. God, we are sorry that we haven't looked on people with your love, that we haven't shown your compassion and mercy. We are sorry. So God, would you help us to do better with the Holy Spirit at work in us to do this? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.